Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome into the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. As we speak to you right now, Daniel Thompson, the police chief in Waukesha, is giving an update on the situation with the what is now clearly a mass murder. He described it as homicide. Five individuals killed here. He did say it is not a terrorist incident. We did not get any updates on motivation or what happened here beyond the basic facts, which, as we've been telling you over the course of the show, this individual, Brooks, was in a car, mowed people down, five dead, dozens wounded. And they're telling us that this was just an incident of fleeing another situation. And this, I have to tell you, they're spending time right now talking about the bravery of the first responders and things like that, which is to be expected in a press conference like this. But he says there was no pursuit prior to the incident. So let's look at no pursuit of the suspect going on. And the suspect is now charged. Brooks, who was out on bail after 2 days after his arrest for trying to run someone over with a car. They're not telling us there's no evidence this is a terrorist incident. And Clay, what I would want to pose as a question, one for which I can't say I have an answer, is, okay, why did this guy do this? Because it is very clear this was not a high-speed chase that turned into a tragic accident. This guy pulled in behind a parade full of people marching and actively, willfully mowed them down. I'm sorry that they want us to believe that this somehow was an effort to escape police, but police weren't chasing him. So if the police aren't chasing him, in what universe is it credible for us to sit here and believe that this guy, now, what are the possible motivations? We laid some of them out. Maybe he just had some kind of a breakdown and decided he wanted to kill a bunch of people. He'd already tried to run someone over with his car, the mother of his child, allegedly, a couple days before. But they're acting like this was an accident. This is not an accident. This is a guy who's murdered five people and dozens more severely wounded, and including children. And they're saying it's because he was fleeing. Their motivation does not make sense at this stage. And I don't know what I'm missing on this.
No, I think you're right. And we started off the show asking this question. First of all, let's talk about the video, which is awful to see. But Buck, he starts off driving slowly and then accelerates. He accelerates and drives right over, as you said, dozens of people, killing five of them. In general, you are not going, and it doesn't appear that this was some form of high-speed pursuit by police. In general, you don't create, most rational people don't, a relatively small incident in the grand scheme of things criminally and turn it into a mass murder event by accident. So the idea, and look, the closeness of this coming on the heels right after we got the verdict in Kenosha on Friday, with the fact that this is a suburb of Milwaukee on Sunday in Wisconsin, that this would happen purely by happenstance and they would be completely unconnected, seems unlikely. Seems unlikely to me. Also, if you look at what the background of this guy has done, should have never been on the streets. Let's start there. This is a failure of the criminal justice system that this guy were on the streets. But he's a serial criminal who to this point had not been a mass murderer. What occurs, Buck, that turns a serial felon into a mass murderer? That is a fairly substantial leap. And what he has in his background is attacks of Donald Trump and Trump supporters. This is on his Facebook page and some of his music that he has done. He also appears to be a BLM supporter and anti Jewish many posts, anti-Semitic posts, all of these things taken in conjunction, and we are told, hey, there's nothing to see here effectively by the left wing and the media, when they have spent over a year telling us that Kyle Rittenhouse, based on much less evidence than this, is a white supremacist. This, to me, represents what often happens, Buck, a memory holding of a story that is race-based, potentially, in a situation such as this, and a flagrant exaggeration, despite there being no evidence of a racial motive in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. The media does not cover these cases in anywhere near the same manner.
Whether it was learning interrogation and the intelligence side of things, Clay, or working with guys in law enforcement, they would always say, look for the lie, right? You find a lie and then you drill down. You find where the inconsistencies are and then you know you've got something. And here, I do not accept as an explanation for these events that this individual, Brooks, was trying to get away from whom?
It's right? Illogical.
It doesn't make any sense. And trying to get away from a knife. No one was killed in this knife incident, apparently.
Right.
So you're going to leave the knife incident by murdering five people and then mowing down a whole bunch more people. What the media does, they've done it with other incidents like this, too, is they like to retreat into this. We may never know the real motive. And that's the quote. We'll never know the real motive. And they'll do this no matter how obvious the motive actually becomes, because what they'll do is say, well, we're not in the mind of the killer, or we're not in the mind of this individual. So how can we ever really know, Clay? It almost turns into a postmodernist philosophy class. Can we ever really know why someone does the things they do? And as crazy and just rage inducing as that kind of explanation is, they've done this before. This is the routine. By the time you find out, we've already seen, I had people sending me this morning. People have been posting it. This guy is a big BLM supporter, hates Donald Trump, anti-Semitic stuff all over his social media posts. You know, if he had walked into a building full of people in Waukesha and started shooting, we wouldn't say, oh, well, this is an incident that has nothing to do with what we already know about his social media. People would say that it's at least valid to look at this as a possible motivation for what's going on. They haven't even given us a credible motivation, and they want us to shut down the discussion of this and move on from it. And we shouldn't allow it. We shouldn't allow them to do this, because how can we trust the media? Just put aside even what they're saying here, Clay. How can we trust them on this based on what they did to Kyle Rittenhouse?
I don't think there's any doubt. Look, CNN over the weekend, we were texting about it, says angry white men are the biggest threats in this country. It's flagrantly not true if you look at who commits violent crimes in this country. And look, are there Asian, white, black, Hispanic people who are crazy and commit crimes? Yes. But I want you to keep in mind what you see the media do. If a white guy does anything, it's immediately a sign of white supremacy, even if it's actually a sign of mental derangement, even if it actually has nothing to do with race. Look, the story, what do we see in the Atlanta area? I think it was, Buck, right? That idiot, crazy, lunatic white guy who shot a bunch of massage parlor people. It was described as an anti-Asian hate crime. I believe all the evidence developed was that that guy had a sexual addiction and he was clearly out of his mind. And he decided the best way to deal with that sexual addiction was by shooting a lot of different people who worked in massage parlors that he had frequented in the past. That wasn't a motivation of white supremacy. The larger context here, however, is what we should all be opposed to is violent crime. And violent crime is skyrocketing in this country everywhere. You're listening to us right now in Houston. Violent crime is up. You're listening to us in Atlanta, in LA, in New York City, in Chicago for sure, all of these different cities, San Francisco, violent crime is skyrocketing. We should all be opposed to violent crime. Unfortunately, that's not what's happening on the Democratic side of the equation.
I want to add in, Clay, that there are about Brooks and Waukesha, and it's absolutely true about violent crime, and it's something we continue to talk about here, which is the Democrat Party has embraced really the thinking of the 1970s, when it was all crime is a societal problem. We all share in the blame for what the violent criminals in our midst are doing, so we shouldn't really punish them. We should find ways to rehabilitate and deal with, and it's really on us. And so if we have to suffer a little more, a few home invasions more here and there, a few more people bludgeoned to death on the way to work, well, that's because society has created these criminals. That was the old leftist thinking in the 70s into the 80s. And finally, people in the 90s said enough of this crap. And you had the Giuliani crime miracle in New York, and this spread and the miracle just being enforced the law. That's actually the straightforward antidote to all this madness. But I just wanted to say that it's 5 counts of intentional homicide they're charging Brooks with. Now, I know that, you know, you probably look at the specifics of the statute here. It's not an accident, folks.
Yes.
He killed these. He drove over people knowing what he was doing. And what they're telling you is he did this for apparently no, they have no idea what the motivation is. No reason whatsoever except escaping, when this is the worst way conceivable in the history of the universe to come up with an escape plan.
There's no way to draw more attention to yourself than to drive over innocent people while fleeing. It's literally the worst decision you could make if you're trying to escape. We talked about this in the first hour, Buck. If you were trying to flee, and by the way, the police are saying they weren't pursuing him.
But when he was trying to do this escape plan, Clay, to your point, a cop shot at him.
Yes.
I mean, he's actually actively being shot. No one was going to shoot him driving away from the knife incident or whatever. He was getting live rounds fired at his head when he's driving. Rightfully, by the way, I wish they had hit him.
They should. If you're trying to flee, how many movies have you seen? Get into a crowded parade and just vanish into the crowd. Park your car, walk into hundreds of people. It's cold outside in Wisconsin. Everybody's got jackets. You can just disappear into the crowd on foot. That would be an easy escape. The worst possible way to escape and avoid drawing attention to yourself is by driving a car through a parade and driving over people. I just don't buy into it. Maybe he snapped. Maybe psychologically he had already snapped. Maybe mentally he was not there. But you can't tell me you drive through a parade and hit as many people as he did without some measure of animus involved.
That's right. This guy made an affirmative decision to kill people with his car. This wasn't just collateral damage from an escape attempt. No blanking way. Clay and I see this one exactly the same. There's just no way, folks. I mean, so they could tell you that. I don't care, by the way, if they tell you that in a week. It doesn't make any sense. Something else was going through this guy's head. And I think they don't want people to talk about what else might have been going through this guy's head. That's what seems to be the situation right now. Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and his team have hooked Clay and I up with our very own MyPillows, plus all these other products from their amazing product list. You got to trust Mike to give you a great night's sleep with these MyPillows. They won't go flat. You can wash and dry them constantly. And most importantly, they're made right here in the USA. And for a limited time, Mike is offering his MyPillows. That's right, the one that started it all. For his lowest price ever, you can get a standard MyPillow for $19.98, originally $69.98. That's a $50 savings with promo code Clay and Buck. The King Pillow, Clay, only $10 more. I got a couple kings on my bed.
Oh, I love it, Buck. I'm down on the road now. We're getting them for the new place that we've got down in Florida so we can make sure that we're resting comfortably everywhere. And right now, you can get a money-back guarantee trial till March 1st of next year. How do you do it? It's easy. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials, enter the promo code Clay and Buck, and you can call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials. One more time, MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials, and save yourself a bundle at MyPillow.com. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. A little bit of an update here. Shameful. The Milwaukee District Attorney's Office admitted Monday they set an inappropriately low bond earlier this month for the man, Daryl Brooks, who's accused of killing everyone in Wisconsin, killed five and injured dozens. They said that he had been charged on November 5th with resisting or obstructing an officer, reckless endangering safety, disorderly conduct, bail jumping, and battery. And yet he had only gotten a $10,000 bail, which was later reduced to $7,500. The DA's office said that they had failed. The state's bail recommendation was inappropriately low, and they are now doing an investigation to determine how this man was allowed back out onto the streets. The office currently conducting an internal review to make the recent bail recommendation to determine the appropriate next steps. Well, that's great. Five people are dead. Dozens are wounded. This guy, Buck Sexton, had no business out on the streets. Failure, failure, failure by the Milwaukee District Attorney's Office.
This is a thinking that has unfortunately infected major district attorney's offices across the country, New York, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Chicago. Recently in Chicago, Clay, they had a handful of guys who were arrested. Broad daylight shooting, almost yes. 100 rounds exchanged. People hit, but the Kim Fox, who, if you recall, of Jussie Smollett fame, didn't want any charges against him, didn't bring any charges against the gang members shooting each other in broad daylight. I have a feeling they probably didn't have permits for those handguns under Chicago law, but nonetheless, no charges initially brought. This is madness. But there has grown among the left this sense that it is fashionable to go easy on violent criminals because it's society's fault. It's unfair. There's a disproportionate impact of criminal justice on some communities. Therefore, we alleviate that by not enforcing the law as much. Well, hold on a second. What does that mean?
It's a great question. And by the way, all of the media disinformation that is out there, this happened, Buck, I don't know if you saw it, on Friday night, in the wake of the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, ESPN, for some reason, decided to have Jalen Rose, a former NBA player, as a part of their pregame, lead in with this and get everything totally wrong. The misinformation, the disinformation is legion. Listen to this.
Here's the thing. The Black Lives Matter protest was actually taking place because Jacob Blake was shot and killed by a police officer.
It's a lie, Buck! Jacob Blake, it's 18 months later, Jacob Blake is alive, he was armed, the police were responding to a sexual assault, that was on ESPN, millions of people watching a basketball game, and they trotted out Jalen Rose, who completely bungled the story and helped to spread the idea that Jacob Blake's a victim.
We increasingly live in a society where people are not embarrassed to be wrong, they're embarrassed to be on the wrong side. Doesn't matter what the facts are. Doesn't matter what the truth actually is. As long as they're rooting for their team, that's all they care about, whatever that means for the actual truth of the matter. This Black Friday, celebrate softness season by stocking up on your favorite Tommy John underwear, loungewear, and pajamas. I am wearing right now a blue Tommy John hoodie as I talk to you. It's the most comfortable thing I own, I'm telling you. When you start your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable. You can do everything better. Shop their Black Friday sale today and give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, including yourself, with Tommy John men's and women's loungewear. With over 16 million pairs sold, giving the gift of Tommy John underwear and loungewear has become a holiday tradition for families all across the country. People love getting a gift from Tommy John. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers that got fanatics. This holiday, make everyone in your family that much more comfortable with the gift of Tommy John. That's right. Go to Tommy John's Black Friday sale right now. Get 20% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/buck. Again, 20% off for a limited time site-wide at TommyJohn.com/buck. See site for details.
We should also tell viewers, you're the former vice president of the Virginia Board of Education. So explain how you think race should be taught in Virginia public schools.
Well, let me back up. I beg to differ that CRT is not taught.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not in the curriculum, just to be clear.
No. It is part of the curriculum. It's weaved in and out of the curriculum. In fact, in 2015, former governor, who was just defeated, McAuliffe, his state board of education had information on how to teach it. So it's weaved in. So, you know, it's semantics, but it's weaved in. What we want to say, and what Governor-elect Youngkin has said, is that all of history must be taught. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because what we learn from history, Dana, is that we don't learn from history, and we continue to repeat the same mistakes.
Yes, from Winsome Sears there, the new lieutenant governor in the new year of Virginia, laying it down on this, the semantics games over CRT, and the way that we constantly hear from Democrats, oh, well, it's not really CRT, or it's not officially CRT. She understands the state of Virginia. It absolutely is being taught, and she's holding CNN to account there for the lies. But I have to say that at some level, I'm hopeful that some Democrats, or that the Democrat narrative, that the apparatus continues to push the idea that the only reason that Glenn Youngkin won in Virginia is racism. That the only reason parents show up at any of these teacher meetings and these school board meetings is racism. And that it's just some kind of a white backlash situation or whatever it is. I'd like them to continue with this madness because they're going, because it's a delusion. It's not true. Enough people recognize that it's a stupid smear that won't deal with the real issue of left-wing indoctrination of children. And it's likely to cause enormous challenges, enormous losses, let's be honest, for Democrats in the midterms. And none other than Bill Maher is out there making a similar case right now to people. He's trying to tell Democrats, as a Democrat, if you stick with this woke madness, it's really dumb. You're going to get annihilated here.
I know liberals think this country is full of dumb white people, but in our democracy, dumb white people make up a substantial portion of the vote. The median voter is a white person in their 50s who didn't go to college. Their favorite TV show is NCIS. And their pronouns are what? I don't know what the f*** you're talking about, and get away from me. In 2008, Republicans only won 4 Virginia counties by more than 70%. This month, in the governor's election there, they did it in 45 counties. And this is what a lot of Democrats were told was the reason for that. Glenn Youngkin's win proves white ignorance is a powerful weapon. Racism still works in Virginia. Well, I haven't worked up an official Democratic campaign slogan for 2024 yet, but I tell you what I have ruled out is vote Democrat because white people suck.
He sees it, Clay. I almost don't want Democrats to catch on.
I think everybody sees it. And this is why, I mean, to a larger extent, this is why our audience is exploding every single month, why it keeps growing. Because for a long time, there's been 40% who kind of see it. There's 40% who completely reject it. And there's 20% in the middle. And I think what's happened over the last couple of years, Buck, is I think there's about 20% that are hardcore committed to far left-wing ideology in the Democratic Party. And you're seeing it from a Bill Maher, from a James Carville, from even Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson came out and said the woke universe had gone too far. And so I think what we're talking about is 20% that are committed to this revolutionary ideology that brands everyone who disagrees racist, sexist, homophobic, without redemptive quality. And I think there's 80% of the American public that is over it. And that's why we're not even just talking to conservatives now, Buck. We're expanding the universe here of reasonable people every single day to a massive degree. And I think you're right. To the extent that the AOCs of the world and her ilk continue to speak out as they are. To me, it was perfect evidence of this, Buck, with Joe Biden. Rittenhouse verdict comes out. Joe Biden gives an initial statement that's fairly middle of the road, says, hey, you have to respect the will of the jury. Within a couple of hours, that was not woke enough, and they issued a statement talking about how outraged he was. Well, wait a minute. We saw him talk ourselves, and then that statement comes out. They're constantly genuflecting to the altar of the woke, and the true believers get smaller and smaller every day.
Angry and concerned was what Biden said in that follow-up statement. And if we had a real press corps, which we do not.
Yes.
They would ask Joe Biden, angry, why? Why are you angry at this jury verdict?
Why didn't you say it to us a couple hours before?
Right. Why is it that change of heart happened? You know, Maher also on his show said, Clay, that he wants AOC to actually be willing to come on a place like his show, his platform, and defend the lunacy of some of what the far left of the Democrat Party is pushing. Listen.
A more pertinent question to ask about the word woke might be, why in such a short time has it gone from a rallying cry to a pejorative? If the word only made you think of rational, deserved causes like teaching a less whitewashed version of American history, AOC would still want to own it. But it's a joke because it makes you think of people who wake up offended and take orders from Twitter. That said, I would love to have AOC on this show. There's so much to admire there. I was one of her first supporters for the Green New Deal idea. But that will probably never happen because Democrats don't go anywhere these days where they're not pre-adored.
Clay, this is a key point. I've been saying this for a long time, for years now, which is that, you know, even a place like CNN used to be a different institution. You could go and be a conservative and they hated you.
Yes.
But they would put you on, they won't even put you on air anymore. You're not even allowed to make the conservative case on air and have people shout you down and yell at you in the commercial break and all the rest of it. Trust me, I know. I'm sorry. You know, too. I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
But they will not allow it. AOC's beliefs, the things that she says, she recently, and this is what I think Maher was referring to, and this ties into the entire panic among Democrats who are smart and understand where the country's trending right now, that they are heading into a historic wipeout. I mean, maybe the biggest political wipeout we've seen in a midterm election in our lifetimes. And they understand that when someone like AOC will say, well, wokeness is just some term that old white people use now. Oh, I'm sorry. Wokeness is a term that they were using all the time. It was something, oh man, I'm woke. It was something that was cool. It was in the zeitgeist, right? It was, oh man, I'm so woke. But it has turned into something else because when you announce your pronouns for no reason, when you say that men can get pregnant, when you think that everything is offensive, even when no one's offended by it, but you pretend, people pick up after a while and they figured it out. So that's why her defense here is incoherent. And that's why she won't go on Bill Maher or any semi-rational person show.
And this we should make clear. Buck and I are welcome to go on other people's shows who might disagree with us. In fact, we'll do it. We don't run and hide. We believe in what we believe, but we're not afraid in being attacked for that. And by the way, this is why we offered Dr. Fauci the opportunity to come talk on our show. He has time to do every media outlet just about in the entire country. If they're left wing, we would ask him respectful questions. We would be direct with him. But you know what? People are afraid to actually engage in a battle of ideas. I don't mean just randomly attack people. I mean, sit down and go head to head with things you disagree about. That's become rare. We're not afraid to do it on this show, but that makes us unique. And also, I think, is why so many of you are coming in every single day, why the big tent of the Clay and Buck Show is expanding and adding new listeners.
I'll tell this right now. I'll put this out there. I'll go on any CNN show of any host who has said that Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist or a murderer and represent
the other side.
Rittenhouse side of the conversation. Anyone at MSNBC, I'll put it out there. But it has to be a topic that's worth talking about, and it has to be live, so they can't play any games, because they do that stuff over there, too. When it comes to building consistency and stability in the way you save and protect the money you've earned, gold has a place. That's because it's proven to be a valuable commodity and holds its value in the face of inflation and runaway housing costs, among other increases we're already contending with. Buying gold and placing it within your IRA or as part of your savings account, those are both smart moves. Gold will hold its value, and it has stood the test of time. Now, when you buy it, you can actually take physical possession of it. You can have it delivered to your home so you can hold it and then store it in a safe place. That's what I did. Oxford Gold Group is the company that made it possible. My friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call to put this into motion for yourself. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome back in. Final segment, a Monday show. A lot of intensity out there. Been a lot of intense shows of late. rolling into Thanksgiving week. I know a lot of you are going to be on the road. Massive numbers of you who are listening to us are going to be traveling all over the country to go hang out with your friends and family for Thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to download the podcast. You can search out Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. We want to set an all-time record for this show in November. We love all of our affiliates. Hey, I'm down in Panama City Beach right now. Buck, you've been in Milwaukee, Houston. I was down at our affiliate in South Florida. We are traveling all over this country, interacting with you guys all over the place. We love all of our affiliates. But we want to set new records, keep expanding the footprint of this show, both on the radio and in the podcast universe. And I think, Buck, we're starting to win a lot of battles of reasonableness in an unreasonable world.
Yeah, especially as it's getting cold. I gotta go check out our friends in Phoenix at KFYI. You know,
yeah,
I feel
it's very selfless of you.
I feel like I need to just go check on everybody down in a place where the weather's gonna be like in the 70s when I'm freezing my butt off here. So, you know, Clay, I like to do that that outreach to our wonderful listeners at KFYI. Or I don't know, maybe San Diego or Miami, WIOD. You know, we got some folks that we can hang out with from the Clay and Buck team. And I know you said I didn't even know this.
You didn't know this. We're talking about it off the air.
Ghostbusters, just to be clear, was the movie. We actually had it in Laserdisc my cousin's house. They had a house in the suburbs. We would all gather there. And remember Laserdisc, you couldn't stop or you couldn't fast forward. You had to watch the whole thing all the way through. It's like a giant CD for those who can remember this way back in the day. But it was cutting edge technology. We had Ghostbusters on Laserdisc. We watched that movie. It was what all the kids, there were 11 grandchildren, so to speak, in my family. We would all crowd into one room and watch Ghostbusters when the parents were like either having cocktails or, you know, cooking or whatever. I mean, it's a movie that has tremendous importance in my life. You're telling me that there's a new Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah. And one of the great things, one day, Buck, you will find when you are a parent, you get to go back and watch all of the movies that you loved as a kid and let your kids experience them. So my boys loved Ghostbusters 1, loved Ghostbusters 2. In fact, we took my middle son up to New York City for his birthday. He wanted to go see the Ghostbusters, the place where the end scene of Ghostbusters is, right off Central Park. He wanted to go see the Ghostbusters firehouse, and he wanted to go to where, it's great. Ghostbusters 2, you know, where they have the museum. The Vigo character, pretty scary, by the way, 1989.
I remember.
Vigo the Carpathian.
He looks at you through the painting, and that weird little guy running around. Very much, Renfield from Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Yes,
very much
well
a borrowing
said.
Of that, yeah.
So they have a new movie, which is that it's not the women's version of Ghostbusters, which everybody just pretends didn't happen.
Because it was horrible. Did you try to watch it?
I got through
15 minutes of it, and I was like, this is honestly burning a hole through my eyes that I will never recover from.
This is a direct lineage. It has the old Ecto-1. It's directly connected. It's the granddaughter of, I believe, Egon Spengler is the idea, for those of you who love the original Ghostbusters. And it particularly pays homage to the 1984 original Ghostbusters and the 1989, and is connected and has, supposedly, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Winston character. I can't remember what his name is.
Zedmore? Is that, am I right?
The Annie Potts character who ended up, all of those people, Sigourney Weaver, all of them evidently have cameos in this movie.
Winston Zedmore. Nailed
Winston
it.
Winston Zedmore.
That's
there you
right.
go.
That's not an easy name to remember either, but
all of these guys in the movie, I'm taking the boys to go watch it today. Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see it. I cannot wait to go see this. I've heard it's great. I'll give you a review tomorrow.
I actually might go check this out with my brothers, because we got to the point. There were only certain movies where we could all make reference to the movie. Basically, we could pick out a line, and any one of my siblings could pick up the dialogue at that point. Ghostbusters is one of them. Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Predator was so good. such a good movie.
So this is like the stuff that folks may get into. By the way, if you have not seen Ghostbusters, the original, for some reason, which I think is probably a very, very small component of the audience, and you're looking for a movie to watch over the holiday, it holds up very
well.
So
good.
It holds up very well. I mean, you know what the other movie that we watched in holidays in my family, other than obviously Christmas, we watched some of the Christmas movie stuff, but Back to the Future. We must have seen Back to the Future 1,000 times.
Holds up perfectly. Back to the Future, the Indiana Jones movies, the Ghostbusters, Goonies, all of them, even watching today in 2021, you will watch and say, my goodness, these were still perfect movies 40 years later. And that's one of the great things about being a parent is getting to re-enter. My kids think the 1980s is the greatest decade that's ever existed.
I will say that I have a suggestion for my friend Clay, the sports guru. Have you seen the Netflix documentary about the Trashers, the hockey team from
Connecticut? No, I've never even heard about it. No.
It's not that long. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. It's amazing. This guy back in the early mid 2000s, who was a mafioso who ended up going to prison for a long time, a mafia don essentially, bought a minor league ice hockey team.
I know nothing
in
about
Connecticut
this.
For his 17-year-old son, stacked it with as many kind of, you know, thuggish players, ice hockey players as possible, and guys that are just brawlers. It's amazing. If you haven't seen this, it's Untold Stories on Netflix. It's about the Trashers. What are they, from Hartford or from New Haven? I forget. One of those cities in Connecticut. Anyway, I watched that over this weekend. I could give two thumbs way up on that, so I'd highly recommend. But I have to go see Ghostbusters now for the break, Clay. I got to check this out.
I'll give you a review. I know how much everybody is excited for to be with their family. This is a great movie to go see with all the ages. I'll tell you how well it is and how well it holds up.
The Danbury Trashers was the team I was trying to think of. So anyway, check that one out.
I just wrote it down.
Danbury Trashers. It's amazing. And this show will be amazing tomorrow. That's a guarantee, folks. Make sure you tune in. Please subscribe to the Clay and Buck podcast if you haven't already. Help us get those numbers to the absolute top of the chart. We'll have more for you. Breaking news, analysis, our friend Will Kane in the mix. That'll all be tomorrow. Talk to you then.